Tuesday, February 9th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. We're convened today for the purpose of hearing from a wonderful group of appointees for various boards and commissions. So I think I'll just let everybody know that the way we proceed here is we will call you up individually if there's just one person for your particular board or commission, as a group if there are several appointees, as there are for quite a few of these, and then we'll ask you very briefly to state your name for the record and tell us just a little about your background and why you want to serve in this position. And then don't be worried if you don't see us voting on your confirmation right away, because at the end of our entire hearing, we'll have one very long motion in which we'll forward all of these appointments to the full Senate for confirmation. So one of our members is ill today. Senator Lee Beyer won't be with us at all, but our Vice Chair Ted Ferrioli is here, as well as Senator Brian Boquist, and I think shortly we'll be joined by Senator Jenny Burdick too. So without further ado, let's get started, and I will begin by opening a public hearing on the appointment of Sayer Jones to the Oregon Growth Board, and I believe that she will be joining us by phone. He will be joining us by phone. Hi, is this Sayer Jones? Hello? Hello? Do we have Sayer Jones on the phone? Hi there. No. Okay.
Technology.
Yeah.
Probably crashed with my email, so.
Good afternoon. Is this Sayer Jones? You can hear them, but they can't hear us.
Hello?
Hi, is this Sayer Jones?
Yeah, it is.
Good afternoon. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules. Here with me in Salem are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, and Senator Brian Boquist. And I've just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Growth Board. So if you would please very briefly just state your name for the record and then tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on the Growth Board, please go ahead.
Sure. I am Sayer Jones. I work at the Myron Memorial Trust in Portland. Thank you very much for the opportunity. This is my first appointment at the state level or as a nominee, so I really greatly appreciate the materials that I sent. Email and communication with staff have been really excellent, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this via phone. I'm up in Seattle right now. So my interest in the Oregon Growth Board started maybe 8 years ago when I started the trust. So the Meyer Memorial Trust, we are the personal assets of Fred Meyer, the man. And part of what we do is called mission-related investing, but it's really a regional investing. So when we were trying to figure out what types of impacts we could have in the Northwest with our investment dollars, not just invested across the planet, but actually invested into local companies and funds. We looked first to the Oregon Growth Board, Oregon Growth Account at the time, to see sort of what they've been doing and keep track of the progress and learn a lot from what could actually be done with placing money in our backyard. I think those learnings have encouraged our board to come along in time, and we have made investments in and around the Northwest based on this methodology, right? That we don't have to extract dollars from, you know, industries on the other side of the planet. We can actually be making good returns, and at the same time putting our organizations to work and investing in our own ideas here in the Northwest. That's been a great thing that the trust has done. We've been following your board on that, so I'm really excited about the opportunity to think a little bit differently, because the trust has a particular view. We have our own mission statement, different mission statements that our growth board has. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to kind of think about regional investing for with a different hat on. And I'm really excited about the other members of the board and what we're doing in the future.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. And do we have any questions for Mr. Jones? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Mr. Jones, Senator Boquist here. I was just looking through here and glancing, and I think, as you know, most boards and commissions have a fiduciary responsibility, and so I'll ask you my traditional question to anybody who regulates state money, which is sort of what you're going to be doing. Could you kind of give just a brief background, and of course you're a CPA, this should be easy for you, on fiduciary responsibility and how you see that interplaying with your participation on the growth board?
Yeah, I think in this case, I'm pretty focused on the balance sheet and what it actually means to make decisions with the public's dollars. It does put me in a different position because I'm not an officer of the trust. So at the trust, I offer investment opportunities up to the trustees and then they make the final decision. In this case, I'm having to internalize a lot more of the responsibility that comes from having to make the decisions sort of on my own right with the information provided. So that was actually a lot of what I had to grapple with in considering joining the board in the first place. But I feel like I have a lot of information and I have a lot to offer in this particular space. And there's a lot of people who have long tenures on the board who can help with some of the fiduciary responsibilities. I'm going to lean pretty heavily on the outside counsel because there's a lot of things that, you know, it ends up being a pretty small space. So if the trust is investing in funds and potentially if the organization were to be investing the same fund, I need to understand how all those things fit together. But that's sort of my first, well, I've already started doing that homework. Make sure that I'm disclosing everything that needs to be disclosed. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, exactly. As a CPA, you recognize the fiduciary responsibilities of this sort of thing. And I just want you to know that's a typical question I ask to the PERS board, the investment board, and people like that. Everybody else would be thankful that I don't ask them that question. But.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Any other questions? Okay, I think you've answered all of our questions, so we'll let you get back to your day, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Kevin Olson and Dr. Kimberly Timpins to the Health Evidence Review Board. I believe Dr. Olson is here with us in person. So why don't we let him go first? And please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. My name is Dr. Kevin Olson, and I thank you for considering my appointment. By way of background, I've...
Hold on for just a minute. Hi, is this Dr. Kimberly Timpins? Hello? Hi, is this Dr. Timpins?
Yes, this is Dr. Timpins.
Yes, if you could hold on just a minute. We've just opened a hearing on your appointment and that of Dr. Kevin Olson to the Health Evidence Review Commission, and he's just about to speak, and then we will go to you. So just stick with us for a minute. Okay, sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Olson. Go ahead.
No problem. So by way of background, I'm a medical oncologist. I was born and raised in Portland, did most of my medical training in Oregon. I graduated from Oregon Health Science University and had spent about 17 years in private practice in Portland in a group called Compass Oncology. For the last 3 years, I've been the executive medical director for the Providence Health System for their cancer services in Oregon. My background with the Health Evidence Review Commission dates back to being asked as a subject matter expert to testify in front of what was called the Health Services Commission back in the old days. And that led eventually to my serving on that commission until it was sunset as part of the Oregon Health Authority reorganization. That work actually helped me understand the value of what this important health authority does as far as standing in the very complex intersection of the the technology that's increasing in the healthcare environment, the providers that are trying to deal with that, the complex CMS regulations, and the complexity of our Oregon Medicaid program. I think we've done some great work in our old days on the Health Service Commission to create a really wonderful structure to deal with the complexity and the changing environment when it comes to the healthcare finance and appropriate utilization management. Right now, I serve as the chair of the Value-Based Benefits Subcommittee of the Health Evidence Review Commission. And so this appointment would allow a better connection between that subcommittee and the work that the policy work that the Health Evidence Review Commission is doing. And so with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Dr. Olson? Okay, I don't see any questions for you. You're welcome to stay put if you like, and we'll hear from Dr. Tippins. Dr. Tippins, if you could please just say your name for the record and then very briefly introduce yourself and why you'd like to serve on the Health Evidence Review Commission.
Yes, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Kim Tippins. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I appreciate this opportunity to address you. I'm sorry I could not be there in person. I'm an naturopathic physician and a researcher. I'm trained in traditional Chinese medicine as well. Studied those areas at Bastyr University in Washington State and received a master's in public health from Oregon Health and Science University as well. I currently work as associate professor in the School of Research and Graduate Studies at the National College of Natural Medicine. I conduct research on various aspects of integrative medicine with emphasis on access to integrative medical care and health disparities and utilization. I also teach research methods and principles of evidence-based medicine to students of integrative medicine and students of global health. I have a strong interest in health policy, particularly for the medically underserved, and I work as an advocate for integrative medicine for the underserved within my home institution and on a broader professional level through public speaking. I'm excited to participate in the HERT because I bring expertise in integrative medicine and health research in that area. And I'm also excited to learn more about the processes behind setting policies to extend health care to medically underserved Oregonians.
Okay, well, we appreciate both of your willingness to add this to your already very busy work lives. And do we have any questions for Dr. Tippins?
I'll avoid rationing today.
Okay, well, thank you again, and we'll be acting on your appointments at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Nathan Guerin to the Alcohol Drug Policy Commission. And just so you'll know that you're next, after we hear from him, we'll be calling Gregory Moyer. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Would you like me to sit or stand?
Please sit. Make yourself comfortable. And our microphones are very sensitive, so you don't have to get too close. And just state your name for the record and briefly tell us why you'd like to serve.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Nate Gowey-Rand. I'm the Director of Josephine County Community Corrections. I'm here upon request from Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors that had recommended me for a nomination to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. I believe that Community Corrections has a paralleled mission with the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, which I think we can offer some perspective to, and I'm happy to serve in whatever capacity that you'd like me to do.
Great. Well, thank you for agreeing to do this. Did we have any? And how do you say your last name again?
Gowey-Rand.
Gowey-Rand. Okay, thanks. Any questions for Nate? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again for your willingness to serve. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Gregory Moyer to the Board of Boiler Rules. And while he's coming forward, next on deck will be Stephen Forster. Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
And good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Greg Moyer. I'm from Salem, Oregon. My interest in sitting on the Boiler Rule Board stems from a long history working with boilers and pressure vessels that started with my U.S. Navy career through various universities and for the state of Oregon. I have made several career advances in this field in 30 years. I continue my education through online classes, forever changing codes regarding my National Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspector Commission. I find a great satisfaction in my service to this profession that I feel is of great importance to the safety of not only to the citizens and business owners, but to the whole state of Oregon. Therefore, I feel my extensive knowledge would be an asset to the Boiler Rule Board. One other thing, I have other commissions in other states that I do inspections, and I really wish that these other states would follow your guys' rules. You guys have really strict rules here, and I like them. Thank you.
Well, that's good to hear. Did we have any questions for Mr. Moyer?
Hopefully his explosion insurance experience won't be needed here.
Yes.
We hope not. Okay, well, thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Stephen Forster to the Building Code Structures Board. While he's getting settled, next we'll be hearing from Kanth Gopalpur. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Feroli, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Forster. I reside in unincorporated Clackamas County. I'm a candidate for the Building Code Structures Board, specifically for the Fire Service Representative position. I've been nominated by both Oregon Fire Chiefs Association and Oregon Fire Marshals Association for this position, and I'm honored to be considered for it. I currently serve as the Fire Marshal of Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, the largest fire district in the state of Oregon, serving nine cities in unincorporated portions of three counties. I bring approximately 20 years of experience in fire and building codes, working with building departments, fire departments, as well as the private sector. I've served on numerous national and state building code committees and believe I could be of valuable service on the Building Code Structures Board. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for this appointee? Looks like you answered them all, so thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing. And next, open a public hearing on the appointment of Kanth Gopalpur to the Oregon Business Development Commission. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling Wally Hicks and Sebastian Tapia. They can be getting ready. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, senators, and thank you for not butchering my name. Most people end up massacring it. So actually took the time.
Please say it again correctly for the record.
It's so Kanth. My name is Kanth Gopalpur, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm going to make a brief statement and then set some time, hopefully, for questions. I'm thrilled to be nominated to be the chair of Business Oregon. I've had experience in the past 25 years in Oregon as a businessman. I've started a company, software company, grown the company, taken funding from local sources, finally was fortunate enough to sell the company, and now I've been involved in mentoring and working with startups in the state, throughout the state. Basically, I've been a member of the Oregon Growth Account for two terms, which is the precursor to the Oregon Growth Board. So I'm familiar with how public capital, public monies are used to fund economic development and to spur job growth, which I think is the most important aspect of public funding. I think, as you've seen in Oregon over the past week, there's been a lot of press, favorable press, about the Oregon economy, Portland in particular. Which is all good news, but I think we've got more work to do. I think while Portland, arguably, I think is doing well, I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done on the rural front, and I'm looking forward to working with the new incoming director, who hasn't been announced yet, and working with the Business Oregon Commission to make sure that we spread job growth and prosperity throughout the state. With that, I close and be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for bringing such a wealth of experience to this important assignment. Senator Boquist, did you have any questions?
Think rural.
I sure will.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and we'll let you go and be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
All right. Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Wally Hicks and Sebastian Tapia to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission. After we've heard from them, we'll be calling Gustavo Morales and Nikki Price. Good afternoon, and welcome, former Representative Wally Hicks. It's always great to see one of our former colleagues, and it looks like you brought your entire family with you today. So why don't you go first?
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Wally Hicks, Grants Pass. Yes, and my wife's out of town all week, so I'm on parenting duty this week. But Senate confirmation hearings wait for no one. So, but my youngest, Charlotte's out with Grandma right now, and so I'll try to make it quick. So nice to be here today, and even nicer not to have to come back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I really am honored to be considered for this nomination. I am very, very interested in this subject, and I think that's about the bulk of what I came to say, and I'll welcome questions. Thank you.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you back, and I think we'll hear from both of you, then we'll open it up for questions.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Sebastian Tapia. I'm applying for the Criminal Justice Commission. And for those folks who aren't familiar with what the Criminal Justice Commission does, provides technical assistance to circuit courts on how to develop specialty courts, such as drug courts, mental health courts, and veterans courts. My background, my current employment, is as an assistant county counsel. And my background is as an assistant district attorney for more than 7 years. So I've seen the criminal justice system from several different directions, and that is my interest in Criminal Justice Commission, is what I've learned through years of practice is that you can't have too many tools. The problem is too few tools. And getting that information out to the courts is a very important role and a very noble role of the CJC. I look forward to participating.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on this important assignment. Did we have any questions for either of these good folks?
No, the lawyers. I know better.
Okay, well, thank you again for your willingness to serve.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
And we'll let you go. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Gustavo Morales and Nikki Price to the Trust for Cultural Development Board. After we've heard from them, we'll be calling Duncan Hettel. Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Nikki Price, and I'm from Lincoln City. I'm the Executive Director of the Lincoln City Cultural Center, and in that capacity, I became the co-chair of the Lincoln County Cultural Coalition, which is the local funding arm of the Cultural Trust. So I began to see in person all the great work that the Cultural Trust does through local grants in the lives of individuals and in organizations and the whole coastal community. I have a lifelong passion for the arts. I have a degree in theater, English literature, and humanities. My work history includes time in theaters and galleries and in community newspapers. I'm also a small business owner or a former small business owner. My husband and I founded the Oregon Coast Today newspaper. I feel that the development board would benefit from my perspective as a citizen of rural Oregon and as a working director of a small nonprofit. And if I'm confirmed, I would be dedicated to the responsible stewardship of the Cultural Trust, which I think is a very valuable asset for Oregon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And please go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. And thank you for considering my nomination for the board of the Oregon Cultural Trust. My name is Gustavo Morales, and I am the executive director of UWOCRI, a nonprofit based in Ontario, Oregon, that focuses on developing the social capital and the leadership capacity of underrepresented populations. And we strive to create a community that's genuine. And through our work this last year, our organization is 13 months old. And starting this year, we've grown to have 4 staff on board, and we're continuing to develop that capacity for our community so that we can begin to develop a voice and have our community advocate for themselves and advocate for their own needs. I also serve as a consultant for minority-owned businesses, and I'm contracted with the Northwest Cooperative Development Center out of Olympia, Washington, and funded through the United States Department of Agriculture to work with minority-owned businesses and help them improve their economies of scale as well as get them placed in the competitive business market. My service to the Oregon Cultural Trust will bring the background, not only my individual personal background, but from having grown up in that environment and the work that I've done this past, I want to say decade, because as you can see, I'm relatively young. But I also bring that aspect of, of the youth perspective on how culture really plays an asset in our community and use that as an opportunity to grow for our state.
Great. Well, thank you both. Did we have any questions for either of these appointees?
Well, I was just looking for restaurant suggestions in Reducer. I was there 2 weeks ago, so. You were the editor there, right?
Where?
In New Mexico.
Oh, Reducer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, to take your pick of several really wonderful restaurants there.
Okay. Well, I don't see any other questions for you, so. Well, thank you both. It's great to see people from two important rural parts of the state joining the board for the Cultural Trust, and I know some travel will be involved, and you're both very busy, so we especially appreciate you taking on this important assignment.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Duncan Heddle to the Employment Appeals Board. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling Allison Keene so she can be getting ready. Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Duncan Heddle. I live in Tigard, Oregon. I'm the nominee for the Employment Appeals Board. I'm a University of Michigan Law School graduate and member of the Washington State Bar Association. I've been part of the board's legal staff for over 10 years, and I also served as a temporary board member for 3 months last year. I'm proud of the work that we do at the board. We're always trying to improve the way we do things to better serve the citizens of Oregon, and I hope to continue doing that as a permanent board member.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any questions for Mr. Heddle? Okay, I don't see any questions for you. Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Allison Keene to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. After we've heard from her, we'll be calling a group for the health insurance exchange.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Allison Keene, and I live in Northwest Portland, Senate District 17. I'm very honored to have been nominated to serve as a member of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission serves an important function in enabling accountability and transparency to the public we serve. I believe that my legal experience, my experience as a public sector employee, as well as my deep familiarity with the Oregon Ethics Act, makes me well qualified to serve in this important position. I've been practicing law for over 27 years. I started out as a judicial clerk for a federal judge, then was in private practice with several national law firms, and for the past 19 plus years, I have worked as an attorney at Metro, where I am the general counsel. I have been advising public employees on the Oregon Ethics Act for many years, and I've presented many trainings to government attorneys and public officials throughout Oregon on the Act. I created a chart as a simplified guide to the Oregon Ethics Act, which I have shared throughout the state. And I've been told that my chart has become a key tool in explaining the complicated legislation and rules governing public sector ethics compliance. I'm interested in serving on the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to continue my public service in helping public officials understand the Oregon Ethics Act and engage in conduct that complies with the relevant statutes and rules. If appointed, I pledge to impartially administer and enforce those laws for the benefit of the Oregon citizens. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for being willing to take this on. Do we have any questions for Ms. Keene?
I already corresponded with her.
Yes, I think we've all had an opportunity to talk to you individually, and you clearly bring a wealth of experience to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission that I think is going to be extremely helpful.
Thank you.
Thanks
Certainly
again.
If we gave it more authority, it would be helpful.
Well, that would be a discussion for another day, but thank you for that comment.
We've had that discussion for a decade, I think.
Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the following appointments to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee. And this is a large group, so I think we'll call people up in groups of three. Does
She's
that work?
On the phone first,
okay. Should we do the two telephone people first?
Do Maria first.
Okay. So we've got two people joining us by phone, and then the rest of the people are here in person. So we'll do the phone people first, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Maria Vargas. Hi, is this Maria Vargas? Hello, is this Maria Vargas?
Yes. Hi, this is Maria Vargas.
Hi, this
is... Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators.
Thank you. And we have just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Health Exchange Advisory Committee. And here with me in Salem are the Vice Chair of our committee, Ted Ferrioli, Senator Ferrioli, as well as Senators Ginny Burdick and Senator Brian Boquist. So if you'd like to very briefly just say your name again for the record and tell us why you'd like to serve on this committee.
Yes, thank you. My name is Maria Vargas, and I apologize for not being able to attend in person today, but thank you for allowing me to be present via telephone as a nominee for the Oregon Health Insurance Marketplace Advisory Committee. I grew up and live in Ontario, located in Mauser County, rural eastern Oregon. I'm the communications and outreach manager for Valley Family Health Care, a federally qualified health center. I've worked at VFHC for nearly 7 years, and specifically have been the outreach and enrollment lead overseeing Marketplace and Medicaid enrollments since July of 2013. Our community health center is in the unique position of serving both Oregon and Idaho. This double experience and double education has helped tremendously in providing health coverage assistance to our community members. Belonging to a migrant farm worker family and knowing the challenges that not having adequate health coverage presents has only fueled my passion to continue this vital work. My mother, who is now retired, has enrolled through the Marketplace since early 2014. Seeing her experiences and those of the clients I work with directly motivates me to share what I have learned in hope of helping improve the wonderful efforts that have already been made to ensure that all have access to quality, affordable health care. Thank you very much for this opportunity to address you today. It would be a great honor to serve in this role.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking on this assignment. Did we have any questions for Ms. Vargas before we let her go?
I just have advice. This is Senator Boquist. Since I served on the advisory, Internal Legislative Advisory Council, my only word of guidance once you're appointed is make sure you hold the bureaucrats accountable.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senator.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks again and have a good day. And next we'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Claire Tranchese. She'll tell us how to say her name correctly, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Hi, is this Claire? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is...
This is Claire Tranchese.
Hi, Claire. And this is Senator Rosenbaum, chair of the Senate Rules Committee. Here with me in the Capitol are our vice chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Ginny Burdick and Senator Brian Boquist. And we just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee. So if you just briefly tell us your name again and why you'd like to serve.
Sure. Well, Madam Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Claire Tranchese. And thank you for letting me call in today. I am honored to be nominated to serve on this advisory committee. I currently work at the Oregon Primary Care Association, where it is our mission to achieve health equity for all. We're the Association for Community Health Centers, and there are 33 of us operating around the state in over 200 delivery sites. Our clinics serve the vulnerable and underserved populations across the state. And we have been working to enroll all community members in insurance options that meet their needs and budgets. I'm interested in serving on this committee to help ensure that Oregonians have an equal opportunity to achieve health. I believe I bring a unique perspective and expertise to the committee that I've gained working over the past 3 years with the enrollment assisters at community health centers across the state. I've developed a close relationship with many of these assisters, and I'm a trusted voice to communicate their needs and the needs of their clients to the state Medicaid program and the health insurance exchange. So I'm looking forward to providing advice and input that I can to the advisory committee, and I will do my best to use my knowledge of the marketplace and feedback from the enrollment assisters at the community health centers across the state to help the Oregon health insurance marketplace succeed. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And did we have any questions for Ms. Trenkays?
You have to be equal here, Madam Chair.
This is Senator Boquist, and I don't know if you listened to the previous tape, but I was one of the four legislators, one of who lost his seat over this issue, who was on the Legislative Advisory Committee for the original Cover Oregon. So my only advice to you is make sure you do not trust the bureaucrats and you drill down on all issues so you don't get hoodwinked like we did. So keep that in mind and good luck.
I appreciate your advice.
Okay, well, thank you again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. Have a good day.
Thank you.
And next, I'll open a public hearing, and I'm going to read everybody's name, but we'll call you in groups of three. I'm opening a public hearing on the following appointments to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee: Shauna Butler, Cynthia Condon, Shannon Saldivar, if the three of you would like to come forward. Also, Sean McNulty, Daniel Field, Joseph Finkbonner, James Hauser, Jesse O'Brien, Kenneth Provencher, and Laura Lawson, and Joe Inlet. And so if whoever wants to go first, just say your name for the record and then tell us why you'd like to serve.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Shauna Butler, and I'm a life and health insurance agent here in the state of Oregon. Prior to becoming a life and health insurance agent, I was in higher education with the Chancellor's Office. So I've had a lot of policy experience. I do have a graduate degree in public administration, as well as a Leadership Oregon. I graduated from Leadership Oregon in 2008, which was quite thrilling. I'm here to bring a voice to the health insurance marketplace for Oregon. After having three open enrollments and being very involved with my clients and with the issues with the different carriers, the insurance companies, it's thrilling to be able to be here and share my thoughts and share the thoughts of everybody in Eugene. Oh, I come from Eugene, by the way. So I'm honored to be here, and I will love to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. I think we'll hear from all three of you and then open it up.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Condon. My mom calls me Cynthia. Cindy is what I go by. I'm pleased to be here today, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I am the designated hitter in our family to purchase health insurance, and was surprised to be required to use the health insurance marketplace to buy individual health insurance this year or last year. I bought it directly from the company, and this year was required to go to the marketplace. And I think it's important, because of the Cover Oregon fiasco, that we get this right. And I think my past business experience, I was involved with a startup business that went for 26 years and was sold. I have marketing experience, customer service experience. I think that serves us well. But more than anything, I think it's my experience using the marketplace, and I think it's important that the committee hear from someone who actually uses it and decides whether it's good or bad. So I'm pleased to be considered, and happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you.
My name is Shannon Saldivar. I'm sorry. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Shannon Saldivar. I'm an insurance agent from the Dalles, Oregon. I've been in the insurance industry for 14 years, the last 2.5 focused primarily on the Affordable Health Care Act. Over the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to meet with hundreds of families in the Gorge to help them access health insurance through cover Oregon the first year, new accounts through healthcare.gov the second and third, or filling out paper applications for Oregon Health Plan and faxing them in at 8 o'clock at night, because that was the only time you could get through. I've navigated that successfully for the customers to hopefully help them get the coverage that they need. I work closely with the other agents that are certified in our area as well as our community partners, and had the opportunity to present to our local community advisory council this last July to share with them the work that we've been doing in the area. I really believe in the changes the Affordable Health Care Act made, and I get to see firsthand how that impacts the lives of the families that I work with every year. I really appreciate and am honored to be appointed, or a nominee to be appointed, to serve the state of Oregon through this committee, and I hope my experience on the ground level can bring an important dynamic to this committee. And I thank you for your time and consideration.
Great. Thank you, all three of you, for bringing great backgrounds to this assignment. Did we have any questions? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's really not a question, but it's somewhat in the same vein of the comments by my good colleague. If you watched in horror as the meltdown of the Oregon plan occurred, you might realize that what the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee is really designed to do is prevent a recurrence. So nobody knows all of the answers, but all of you on this committee will have a piece of the puzzle, and maybe we'll be able to listen critically to know when things don't add up. We spent $2 billion with the rollout of the failed effort that you just described watching fail. We're in the process of trying to pick up the pieces. And if the if that was a painful, expensive lesson, I wonder what the Moda meltdown will look like. So, you know, this whole idea that everybody can have everything all the time at a very low cost, completely accessible, is a great ideal. In practice, it doesn't seem to work. So you folks are going to be charged with helping us deliver as much of those opportunities as we possibly can in an affordable and accessible way. So it's not a comment. I mean, it's not a question, Madam Chair. It's just if we'd have had you in the mix at the front end of the debacle, maybe it wouldn't have been a $2 billion black hole and then a restructuring. But it looks like we're restructuring the Moda book of business now. You'll be advising us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Farioli. And, of course, the members here will remember, but the audience may not, that we, the legislature, actually created this committee last session as a part of a piece of a bill that was called Senate Bill 1, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that indicated how much importance we gave to trying to deal with this situation, and you're going to be a very important part of that. So thank you again. And
Next
we'll call Sean McNulty, Daniel Field, and Joseph Finkbonner. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And we've already opened a hearing on your appointments, so whoever wants to go first, say your name and briefly tell us your background and why you'd like to serve.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators, thank you for your consideration. My name is Sean McNulty. I'm an employee with Project Access Now, which is the largest enrollment organization in the Tri-County area. We do both Oregon Health Plan and the federal marketplace, and so I get some experience between the two of them and the interaction that those and the problems that has caused for the immigrant populations and other underserved communities that we work with on a regular basis with our community partners in Portland. In addition to the work with immigrants through the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, one of the organizations I work with personally, we understand a lot of the barriers in the application process around proving identity verification through the federal marketplace that prevent immigrants from being able to access services and make it more difficult for people who are already facing language barriers and other problems. And I bring some insight into that and would like to see some changes that we can influence on that, as well as improving health insurance literacy and training for people who are signing up on these programs for the first time. That way they'll be able to use the preventative care that's necessary to actually realize the cost savings from the Affordable Care Act and other programs like that. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Sure. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to introduce myself to you and to give you a little bit of my background and perspective. My name is Joseph Finkbonner, and call me Joe, please. I'm a member of the Lummi Tribe, northwest of Bellingham, Washington. I've worked in Indian health care since 1995. I'm currently the executive director of the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, which is a consortium of the 43 tribes in Oregon, Idaho, and Washington. We do health promotion, disease prevention, health policy, and both in a minor amount of lobbying as well as advocacy in the various different levels, both in our respective states as well as federal policy. We also operate an epidemiology center, which I was originally hired at the Northwest Portland Area Health Board as a director of the Epidemiology Center. We are one of 12 that specifically focus on American Indian and Alaska Native health status. We also do training and technical assistance for all of our tribes on everything from the health information systems that they use, which would be RPMS, which is a VA platform that the Indian Health Services has used for a number of years. And then we also provide legislative policy watch for our tribes, which I've said before. I'm open for any questions following the review. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dan Field, currently working at Kaiser Permanente. Proud graduate of Willamette University across the street, law degree from University of Oregon, and a member, resident of Senate District 18. Very excited to be here today. You know, this has been a very long, strange journey, as we're all aware. And in some ways, it's just beginning. And with the passage of Senate Bill 1 last year, I think the legislature took a very important step in stabilizing the insurance exchange and making sure that we continue to have this tool available to Oregonians, low-income Oregonians, both to have access to affordable health insurance coverage, to have access to millions of dollars of federal support. I think that's important for us to continue to maintain and grow a stable marketplace. And I'm really pleased to hear, and I think you've been briefed on this, that the Oregon marketplace, in fact, is stable and is growing. And we're one of the fastest growing states of all those participating in the federal platform. So our goal on the advisory committee really is to continue to provide advice and guidance to DCBS and the team there as they continue to find ways to grow this opportunity for Oregonians. We have some interesting challenges ahead. We know the legislature is looking at the basic health plan. They're looking at a small business exchange, a shop exchange. We know there are financial issues associated with the long-term financing of the exchange. We know we'll be looking at our relationship with the federal marketplace. A lot of issues out there, including some issues just this past week. But the great news is it's a stable marketplace. It's a competitive marketplace. We have a lot of carriers that are active and growing on the exchange. And I'm pleased to be part of the advisory committee that will continue to build on that success in the coming years. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks to all three of you for taking on this important and challenging assignment. Any questions for these folks? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since I was the co-vice chair that created SB1 for a lot of reasons, I would just extend an invitation to the three of you gentlemen and everybody else that's on it. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, smells like a duck, sounds like a duck, and you don't think it's right, please feel free to call me or email me and say, Houston, there's a problem, and we're not getting the right answers. Because we cannot afford, in no manner whatsoever, a second failure.
Okay, thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
I'm sure that applies to all of us. Okay, and next we'll call Jim Hauser, Jesse O'Brien, and Kenneth Provencher, if the three of you would like to come forward. And then our last two appointees will be Laura Lawson and Joe Enlett. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for waiting so patiently. Whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hauser. I live in Portland, Oregon. 33 years ago this month, my wife Liz Daly and I founded Hawthorne Auto Clinic in Southeast Portland. We have 9 full-time employees plus a student intern and a helper. And by the way, we're seeking another student intern if anyone knows anyone who would like to apply. We cover the healthcare premiums for all of our full-time employees and their dependents. And we have found that to be very, very valuable. Average tenure of our full-time staff is now over 12 years due to the what we found the importance, the competitive advantage that we create with that. I had the opportunity to serve on the advisory for the Oregon Health Authority before Cover Oregon was created. I was also asked to serve on the Small Business and Consumer Advisory Committee for Cover Oregon. I've been involved at the both federal level and state level in the healthcare reform efforts since 2008-2009, and I am looking forward to the opportunity to provide any help, guidance that I might offer from that experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here, and I have to give a special shout-out because Mr. Hauser is not only a double constituent of mine, he lives in Senate District 21. His business is in Senate District 21, but he's also been the auto mechanic for me and multiple generations of my family and kept us on the road safely and smoothly. So thank you very much for taking this on in addition to your great business.
Well, maybe we could get him to break your car down occasionally for us.
Please don't say that. Okay.
Only on key votes, madam.
Whoever wants to go next, please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jesse O'Brien. I am the policy director for OSPIRG, which is the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, which is a grassroots, nonprofit, nonpartisan consumer advocacy group that's been around in Oregon for about 45 years. I've been leading OSPIRG's work on healthcare for about 4 years, which focuses on consumer protection and healthcare broadly, but is more specifically focused on healthcare costs. We think that it's critically important that Oregon get the health insurance exchange right. Oregon consumers are counting on us to make this program available to them and make it work for their needs. As such, for the past few years, we've also been leading a group called the Oregon Outreach and Enrollment Alliance, which is a sort of ad hoc group of advocates and organizations that help people enroll in health insurance, trying to coordinate getting the word out about how to access health coverage. I also, along with my friend to my right, served on the Cover Oregon Consumer Advisory Committee, and obviously there were some lessons learned by that whole process. I hope to apply those lessons to my work with the Department of Consumer and Business Services in this capacity. We supported the transition of the exchange to DCBS. It seems like it's going relatively well so far in terms of the enrollment numbers that just came out recently. I'm definitely looking forward to working with DCBS going forward. I also just thought I would mention that I am an appointed consumer representative at the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, or NAIC, which gives me the opportunity to connect with advocates and regulators in other states working on related issues, and I hope I can bring some of that expertise to this table as well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, excuse me, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, it's an honor to be here. My name is Ken Preventure. I'm president and CEO of Pacific Source. We're a not-for-profit Oregon-based health plan that does business in Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. We serve populations across Medicare, Medicaid, commercial. We operate the 2 CCOs, and we participate on the exchanges in all 3 states. I think I bring potentially 2 things to the committee. I've been in this business a long time. I've got about 30 years on my resume, 21 with Pacific Source and in Oregon, and I've been CEO of reasonably successful health plan for the last 15 years. I think I have the ability to assess what is happening and be able to provide that business perspective. I also have a real strong commitment to good public policy that meets the needs of Oregonians. I've served on the Safety Net Advisory Committee, a long tenure on OMIP, which I consider to be one of the most important things that I've done outside of work, and think that I can bring that sort of notion of high ideals and that critical thinking from a business perspective to this process. So thank you. I look forward to serving.
Great. Well, thanks to all three of you. Do we have any questions for this panel?
Just another statement, if you'll indulge me, Madam Chair. We had a meeting for 35 minutes today with the director of DCBS. MOTA needs $175 million to stay solvent. It has to come from outside sources. 400,000 policyholders are at risk, and I don't know what Plan B is. So I'm just saying stay nimble. And if you really are advocates for consumers, you don't accept the first answer. Drill down. I think that my colleague said that pretty well. Be fearless. What would Oregon be able to do now if it had the $2 billion to invest in health care, knowing now what we didn't know then? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli.
If I may respond very briefly, I think the point is very well taken. And health insurance marketplace, as you know, is a separate division within the Department of Consumer and Business Services from the what's now called the Division of Financial Regulation. Used to be the Insurance Division, which is managing the MOTA situation. But as a consumer advocate that works closely with the Division of Financial Regulation, we are watching that situation very closely, and we'll definitely do our best to stay nimble. Thank you.
Okay, thanks to all three of you. And last but not least, we still have two more people to hear from. I will call Laura Lawson and Joe Enlett. The two of you would like to come forward. I hope you still want to do this.
Madam, I've been watching. None of them have slept out the door.
No, no one slept. Great. Well, welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and just tell us your name and why you'd like to serve.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Lawson. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm a registered nurse for probably around 16 years now. I also recently served as chief nursing officer for Curry Health Network in Curry County. I also participated in the Curry Community Health Public Health Advisory Board. Curry County, as you know, is very remote, and healthcare access and barriers are many. And I have a passion and concern for patient access and access also to coverage.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Joe Enlett, and I come from the island of Chuuk in Micronesia, which is one of the three Kofa nations. I was born and raised there and moved here to the U.S., lived in California and Hawaii, and then moved to Portland, Oregon, and have lived in Portland, Oregon since 2007. If I can sum up everything that I do and live for, it would be community and advocacy. I am a founding member of the board of the COFA Alliance National Network. I have served as president of that board. I've also been the organizing director. And what we do is we advocate for health access for COFA Islanders and Pacific Islanders. I've also worked for the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization in Portland. And while there, I was very intimately involved with Cover Oregon because I was one of the first certified enrollment assisters and also a community outreach person for Cover Oregon. So I have some inside knowledge about the difficulties and the challenges that our families face. I volunteer on a lot of nonprofit grassroots advocacy organizations such as APANO, Oregon Community Health Workers Association. I also am a community health worker. And my day job is I am a senior health policy analyst with the Health Equity Initiative at the Multnomah County Health Department. I've also served as a community engagement liaison with the Portland City. And I am very honored to be considered to be a member of this advisory committee. I am committed to making sure that policies are made with the community in mind, and really ensuring that our most vulnerable Oregonians have access to quality and affordable care. I am committed to, as the good senator mentioned, to be part of the commitment to hold the bureaucrats accountable. So thank you.
Thank you both. Any questions for these appointees? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Tenacity is key, folks, all 13 of you, or you'll get hoodwinked.
Okay, thank you for that comment. So thank you again. Thanks to the entire group, and we'll be acting on your appointments at the close of today's hearing. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Daniel Lopez Ceballos to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. If you'd like to come forward. And next we'll be calling Rex Kim. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Daniel Lopez Ceballos, and I'm very excited to be nominated for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. I am Associate Director of Research with the Center for Latino Studies and Engagement and Faculty in Ethnic Studies and Public Health at Oregon State University. And I think I bring faculty and a researcher on health equity issues, particularly around issues around access to health care. So for the past 11 years, I've been working with a variety of stakeholders across the state, including the Oregon Latino Health Coalition, Upstream Public Health, Actuality Healthcare Foundation's Salud Services Program that focuses on providing access to health services for vineyard and winery workers, as well as the local county health department in where I live, which is Corvallis. And so I'm very excited for the opportunity and look forward to contributing to the work of the commission. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It sounds like you're bringing a already packed resume and career to this, and it is important. So we're glad you're willing to serve. I don't see any questions for you, so we'll thank you again and let you go. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Rex Kim to the Oregon Investment Council. After we've heard from him, we'll be calling Satish Upadhyay. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Rex Kim, and I am a resident of Portland, where I live in the Northeast neighborhood with my wife, who is a middle school teacher, and along with our two young children. I have been involved in the investment management, investment advisory business now for over 20 years, working with pensions, endowments, foundations, managing money on their behalf, but also serving as an advisor to them. With that, I'll open it up to any questions. Thanks.
Thanks for your brevity. Do we have any questions for Mr. Kim, Senator Boquist?
It is the Oregon Investment Council after all. You know I have questions.
Go ahead.
And I do appreciate you volunteering for this particular assignment. Markets off 30 percentage points roughly. Most everybody doesn't happen to notice how it's been going down. But I do notice, and my one question I always have, and I think you're anticipating this right now, is you did say in your letter on December 9th, I appreciate the fiduciary responsibilities of the council. So would you care to share just a little bit of your understanding of that so that we have it on the record, given we're counting on you to look after our assets?
No, absolutely. And Chair Rosenbaum and Senator Boquist, thank you for that question. I think it's a very important question. The fiduciary responsibility of someone who sits on the Oregon Investment Council is to make sure that the money is being managed prudently, that money is very important to the state and all of its beneficiaries. The markets obviously go through turmoil, down markets, up markets. And I think what is common through whichever part of the market cycle you're in is to make sure that you understand all the risks that you're investing in. It's not just whether you can lose money or not, but it's also understanding the process with which you invest the money making sure that you have a strong governance structure to ensure that the decisions that the investment team, the Treasury, and the Oregon Investment Council are making is repeatable. And with my experience of over 20-plus years, I think I would bring a professional dedication to making sure that my understanding and my commitment and my council members' commitment to their fiduciary responsibilities is intact.
Follow-up.
Well, yes, ma'am. I must say, I've held up several of these positions for a couple months before, but I must say that's about the best answer I've heard so far. So
thank you.
Well done. Just spread the wealth of information to your colleagues.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, well, thanks again for
your
willingness to take on this really important assignment.
Right.
And we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Satish Upadhyay, which I'm sure I didn't pronounce correctly, to the trustees of the State Library.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Satish Upadhyay. I'm a resident of Tigard, Oregon. And thank you for this opportunity to be here before you to seek your support for the appointment to the State Library Board. I have over 27 years of state government experience. I have worked in four different agencies in different capacities, and I believe I'm pretty familiar with the workings of state government. I support the work of the State Library and am familiar with the challenges that this agency has been facing over the last few years. And I believe that with my experience, I can contribute to the policy-making role of the board. I believe you have material about my background in front of you, and keeping the time in mind, would be open to any questions if you have any.
Okay, did we have any questions for Mr. Upadhyay? Close enough?
Yeah. No, don't burn any books. My computers keep crashing, so don't make everything electric, okay?
Okay. I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again for taking on an additional assignment.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Krista Rodriguez to the State Board of Massage Therapists. After we've heard from her, we'll be calling Zori Hill. Good afternoon. Thanks for your patience and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and senators. My name is Krista Rodriguez, and I'm from Medford, Oregon. And I appreciate the opportunity for the nomination of board member for the Oregon Board of Massage Therapists. I have been a massage therapist in the state of Oregon for 10 years. I also teach at the Ashland Institute of Massage, and I teach professional development. I've been doing that 2 years. I've also been a guest instructor there for insurance billing, which is my background. My clientele mostly consists of people that utilize their insurance, either personal injury, medical, or workers' compensation. And I also do have a bachelor's in sociology with emphasis on social policy and community. And my interest in joining the state board is to bring that background, hopefully, into gaining a little more clarity with insurance and massage therapy. There's a law in Washington called the Every Category Law that has been around for a number of years, and I'm interested in hopefully bridging the gap and having something of that nature come aboard in Oregon. And I thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for your willingness to serve on this board and for making the trip to Salem. Any questions for Ms. Rodriguez? Okay, I don't see any, so thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Zori Hill to the Mechanical Board. And next we'll be calling Paul Chavin and Melissa Ping.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the Senate Rules Committee. I'm Zori Hill, and thank you for your consideration for the Oregon State Mechanical Board. I recently moved from Myrtle Creek to District 1, Portland. I am here at the recommendation and support of Local 290, Plumbers and Steam Fitters Union, as well as the Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association. I have been a licensed plumber for 27 years. I also hold a boiler license and a Class 5 pressure vessel license. I have a deep desire to serve my community. I enjoy public service and volunteer work, and this just kind of seems like the next logical step in my public service. I do believe that all citizens of Oregon deserve a quality of life through safety of piping systems and rules and regulations. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your willingness to serve and bring expertise to this board. Any questions?
No, I talked about her organization on the floor this morning. So,
thank you.
Okay, thanks again. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Paul Chavin and Melissa Peng to the Oregon Medical Board. While they're coming forward, our next person will be Arian Moore. Thanks. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. Thank you, Senators. My name is Melissa Peng. I'm a physician assistant, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. My previous experience is with the Physician Assistant Committee with the Oregon Medical Board, which I served 3 years, and I enjoyed my time doing that. And when that committee was abolished, I decided to apply for this to continue making sure that the people of Oregon get great health care and safe, that providers are practicing safely. So I look forward to continuing that.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Dr. Paul Cobbin is how I say my last name.
Sorry about
that. CH is like a K. And I am honored to be here today, as everyone else has been. And I'm a nominee for the Oregon Medical Board. I have had the opportunity to be chief of staff of Mackenzie Lambert Hospital. I have served as the president of Lane County Medical Society, and I've chaired Pacific Source Health Plans. So I've had many opportunities to be leadership roles. I've had an opportunity to serve my country as a lieutenant commander in the Navy, a chance to serve my patients over many years since I've been practicing obstetrics and gynecology in the Eugene Springfield area since 1977, and now I have an opportunity to serve the citizens of Oregon in a regulatory capacity. So I'm honored to be here today, and that's why I'm here.
Great. Well, thank you both for taking on such an important assignment, which will be, I'm sure, challenging and enjoyable. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for
you,
so thanks again. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Arian Moore to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Thank you, High Senator Committee. My name is Arian Moore. I've been living in Tiger since for about 6.5 years. I have a degree in criminology, and I was a former track and basketball player and collegiate athlete. And now, due to my disability, I deal with a lot of physical occupational therapy, and that's why I want to serve on the board to help protect the public's health when they dealing with therapists.
Great. Well, good for you, and thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions, so we'll let you go. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Patty Kress and Christine Herman to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently. I'm sure it was fascinating to listen
Absolutely.
To all these stories. And whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Patty Kress. I'm a resident of Staten, and I'm a nominee for a position on the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. My interest in this board follows about 15 years of combined experience in both community and institution corrections. I started my career as a parole and probation officer, working in Coos and Jackson counties for a period of about 7.5 years. During that time, I supervised a variety of criminal offenders, including specialized caseloads of domestic violence and later sexual offenders. Since 2007, I've been employed with the Oregon Department of Corrections as a release counselor at the Oregon State Correctional Institution here in Salem. About 2 years ago, I was promoted to lead release counselor, so I provide some leadership to the other release counselors at the various prisons around the state in my current role. Of course, in this role, I've been focused on assisting inmates with successful reentry from prison back out onto the streets. My education includes a Bachelor of Science in Communication and a minor in Criminology from Southern Oregon University, as well as a Master of Arts in Teaching from Western Oregon University. Personally, I'm married. I'm the mother to a wonderful 3-year-old little girl, and my interests are pretty wide-ranging. Probably at the top of the list would be travel. And with that, I'm going to close.
Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, my name is Christine Herman, and I'm before you as a nominee for the Board of Parole and Post Prison Supervision. I've spent my entire career working in or alongside the criminal justice system. Just out of college, I worked as a domestic and sexual violence program as an advocate in my hometown in Alaska. After law school, I spent 9 years as a prosecutor in Washington State, primarily handling sex crimes and crimes against children. Here in Oregon, I served as the executive director of the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force, and most recently, I was a project director for the Vera Institute of Justice's Center on Sentencing and Corrections. I believe that the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision presents the perfect opportunity to use my professional experience to continue my passion for public service, in particular my understanding of sex offenders and the complex issues surrounding their safe reentry after incarceration would serve the board well as it assumes the additional duties mandated by recent legislation. I would be honored to be appointed to the board and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, well, thank you both for taking on this assignment, which is very important and certainly not the easiest job there is. So I admire you for bringing such great backgrounds. Do we have any questions for these appointees? Okay, I don't see any questions for you.
Thank you.
So we'll thank you again and close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Diane Armstrong and Cindy Vipperman to the State Board of Pharmacy. If the two of them would like to come forward, and next on deck will be Craig Anderson. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and the committee members. My name is Diane Armstrong, and I live in Tigard for about 24 years now. I currently work for Kaiser Permanente in a hospital pharmacy. I spent 25 years in information technology for a major bank, and it may not seem like a natural fit for pharmacy technician in this state, but long and varied career experience in IT as a programmer and a manager has taught me that standards are crucial for a successful outcome. And computers, apps, and networks work properly only when certain operational standards and protocols are followed. And the same can be said of successful pharmacies. This is one of the reasons I'm very interested to serve on the board. While I've only been in this field for a bit less than 10 years, I've come to appreciate the benefits of the profession and why these stringent rules and regulations are required. The public is best served by maintaining standards of quality and practices across all pharmacy outlets, inpatient and outpatient. I also know that the board enforces continuing education requirements for pharmacists and for technicians, and I look to the Board of Pharmacy to ensure that current and future members of the profession are appropriately trained and maintain up-to-date skills throughout the life of their licenses. This protects and serves not only the profession, but certainly serves the public. I would be extremely honored and proud to be a member of the Board of Pharmacy, and thank you for considering my nomination.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and committee members. My name is Cindy Vipperman. I live in the Dalles, Oregon, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to serve my state on the Board of Pharmacy. I've worked in the retail pharmacy as a pharmacy technician for 18 years. In those 18 years, I've gone from a clerk to a lead technician. I main inventory. I do the returns, the outdates, and, of course, I do the C2 orders, and I know how to do all of the I know the laws and procedures of the C2 drugs and the perpetual logs, and also I advocate for many of my customers' insurance companies so that they pay the required for their required medications from our pharmacy. I have been able to complete my bachelor's degree in those 18 years at Eastern Oregon University, and with the help of my husband, I have raised 5 children. I bring that up because now I have 8 grandchildren, and they are everything to me. 7 of those grandchildren live in Oregon, and I want my state to have the best policies and laws to protect my grandchildren and yours from now and in the future. I understand the importance of making laws and requiring important training from both pharmacists and technicians, and the need to protect both the pharmacies and the public. I'm excited to be one of the first technicians on the Board of Pharmacy, and I know my knowledge and experience will be of value to not only the Board of Pharmacy, but to the public and all pharmacies and technicians in Oregon. I would like to serve on the Board of Pharmacy so that I can promote and preserve the health and welfare of the public with laws and safe practices resulting in a healthier and safer Oregon. Sorry. If you have any questions, please don't.
Well, at least an honest one here.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you both for being willing to serve on the Board of Pharmacy, and certainly public speaking is not a job requirement here, but you've been very articulate in stating why you want to serve, and it sounds like you're well qualified. Any questions? Kate, no questions.
Thank you.
Thanks again. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Craig Anderson to the State Plumbing Board. And after we hear from you, we'll be calling Patricia McDonald. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. It's an honor to be considered for this. And
if you could just state your name again, too.
Craig Anderson. I'm sorry. I am a resident of Portland, Oregon. I own and operate a plumbing business, of which I've run for 21 years. I've been a plumber for 27 years. The opportunity to be nominated for this is very important to me. I believe that continuing with the standards that are in place for education, for licensing, is so very important to ultimately the consumers in the state. And it is an honor to be nominated for this position.
Well, thank you very much for being willing to accept the nomination. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Patricia McDonald to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I'm excited to be here today as a nominee for the Port of Portland Commission. My name is Pat McDonald. I'm a vice president at Intel as their chief talent officer and a resident of Portland. I started at Intel in 1986, straight out of Oregon State University with my degree in chemical engineering. During my 30-year Intel career, I've held multiple leadership positions across semiconductor manufacturing, healthcare, product development, and now human resources. Always delivering improved quality and efficiency in complex organizations. I'm known for taking on the toughest challenges, delivering on time, on budget, and with high quality. As you know, the Port of Portland is vital and critical to the economic growth of Oregon, moving people, product, and equipment. I was able to see this firsthand as a vice president and plant manager of Fab 20, as we were dependent on the port quickly shipping our products to multiple locations around the world, as well as we were dependent on the delivery from thousands of our suppliers. I'm excited about the future of the Port of Portland, and I would love to tap my global leadership skills and help this complex organization. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve on the Port of Portland. It's extremely important, and the challenges are many, especially at the moment.
And oh, especially at the moment, Madam Chair. Yes, I do have a question.
Senator Boquist has
thank
a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last quarter, we put a union rep on there, and I asked him sort of the same questions since he was a union rep, and I just gave Senator Courtney the 2014 edition of Portland on the Take. It's a book on corruption in Portland. It's very interesting, and it talks about the 1930s strikes at the port. Only after that, they continued to work, and so we're not moving out of the container terminal, as you know, right now, and it's really having a serious negative impact on my district. Most rural districts that rely on that from everything from shipping Christmas trees to straw to everything else because they're marginal products, and it's just not economical to get them to the port of Vancouver in Canada. And you're a human resources expert. So you have any thoughts on, you know, how to build a coalition to get everybody back to the table? I mean, I know it's a very long shot to get a ship because it's 82 steaming miles up that river, but at this point, if we don't do something, not only are large companies like Intel going to have challenges, but there won't be much left to export out of Oregon in the rural areas. So any thoughts on your skills on coalition building?
Typically, the way I strive to build coalitions across multiple organizations, including many large employee groups, is first of all, determine what is the higher purpose and our higher mutually achievable goal. Something that actually delivers a win for each of the constituents. And then figuring out through mutual understanding and pulling together a good strategic plan as well as a tactical action plan where we can hold each other accountable and then moving forward with that plan. But first and foremost, you have to talk to everyone, really understand their interests and strive to join them together for their higher purpose of economic growth and good for all of Oregonians.
Just one comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I would just point out that, I mean, it might not be a Port of Portland if we don't do something, because we've got some serious problems out there, and now, as you well know, because ships are getting bigger, it's not a good place to go to with a ship to start with, and it's just not economical at the moment to even ship containers with cheap fuel north. It's surely not economical to ship them south. So the clock is ticking before the Port of Portland is going to look like the downsize after World War II. So good luck. And again, the union rep committed to the same thing a quarter ago. So what we really need to see is the port do something.
I understand, and I welcome the challenge.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I don't see any for you, so thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Charles Koklitz. I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing.
Noka.
Okay. To the Psychiatric Security Review Board. And please start by saying your name correctly for the record.
Thank you. My name is Charles Koklitz. I'm from Medford. And I'm wanting to serve on this board because I feel like I have something to offer. I have a law practice in Medford that focuses on juvenile law, criminal law, and mental health law, all of which are very relevant to the Psychiatric Security Review Board juvenile panel. I also want to see recidivism be low. I want these young people to get the help they need. I want to see the community get the protection they need. And I also want to see these young people not reenter the criminal justice system for their sake and for the community's sake.
Okay, well, thank you for your willingness to take this on. And do we have any questions?
Well, we might need to go before the board someday, so we better approve it.
Thank you very much again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Clifford Johansson to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. And next on deck will be Dr. Samuel Henry. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Dr. Cliff Johansson. I'm a licensed psychologist in the state of Oregon. And I'd be happy to address any questions that you might have about my background or interest. To keep it short, I've been around for a while and I've done a bunch of stuff. I think that my main motivation in this appointment is a sense of responsibility for my profession and maintaining the integrity and the effectiveness of people who practice in my profession.
Okay, thank you. Did we have any questions for Dr. Johansson? Okay, I don't see any questions for you. Thanks again for your willingness to serve, and I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Samuel Henry to the Quality Education Commission. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for your patience, and we're eager to hear from you.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, I'm happy to be here. You have seen me before, and I won't run through some of the different roles you've seen me, but it's been the OEIB and the State Board of Education and a variety of other different entities.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do need to ask you to say your name again.
Violated protocol. For the record, my name is Samuel D. Henry. I have been involved in education fairly actively since 5 days after I was released from active duty and entered a secondary school classroom in 1969. Yes, I'm that old. I've spent 22 years in policymaking roles, and you see a list of them. And I also had 20 years of international experience. I'm actually accompanied by one of my colleagues who's a visiting Fulbright professor from Croatia, who's sitting to my left in there. And I've been pleasured to serve the state of Oregon in the 24 years that I've lived in Troutdale, and happy to have been a representative of Troutdale. My doctorate is in urban education from Columbia University, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on yet another assignment and being willing to serve. Do we have any questions for Dr. Henry?
No, I don't need an education lecture. So.
Senator Boquist, last time you had several questions.
Right.
For
you know, you've exhausted me already. See, that's the point.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I'll lose that debate. I realize that.
Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Clara Bees Fitzgerald to the Commission for Women, if you'd like to come forward.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I am happy to be...
Could you just say your name for the record?
My name is Clara Elena Beas Fitzgerald. Okay, and I feel very privileged and honored to be a nominee for the Oregon Commission for Women. I came to Eastern Oregon. I'm a resident of Eastern Oregon, Hermiston, Oregon, and I've been living there for over 16 years. When I got to Hermiston, Oregon, I came like many other women. I was homeless, cardless, and moneyless. One thing I was not was clueless. And so over the 16 years that I've been living here, I have had the opportunity to obtain my bachelor's and my master's degree in education. I am the site coordinator for the English Language Development Program in Boardman, Oregon. I have been elected city councilwoman for the city of Hermiston, Oregon. I'm also a member of the Hispanic Advisory Committee, and I sit on the Cinco de Mayo Executive Board. The reason why I think this nomination is a very good fit for me is because, as I stated before, like many women, I came here to seek a better life. I have come to meet women from professionals to important women, to women who are humble and who are hardworking. And so since I live in Eastern Oregon, and I'm the only person from Eastern Oregon here today, I believe that my nomination would be a great accomplishment for the women in Eastern Oregon.
Great. Well, thank you for your interest in the Commission for Women and for traveling such a distance to be
and
with
now
us.
I have to go back
today. That's a long trip, so drive safely. Did we have any questions for this appointee. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing. And last but not least, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Diana Winther and John Kevin Billman to the Management Labor, the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thank you for your extreme patience this afternoon. And just because you're last, we're still very interested in hearing what you have to say. So whoever wants to go first, tell us who you are and why you'd like to serve.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for being willing to sit through all of that and still pay attention to us here at the very end. My name is Diana Winther, and I am currently General Counsel for IBW Local 48. So that's the electricians union here. I don't practice workers' compensation law, but I have a vested interest in the protection of workers, especially those who work in sort of the more dangerous building trades area. And I've had many interactions with my own members in terms of trying to navigate the workers' compensation system. One of the interesting things is that IBW has a partnership with management. It's one of the things that we're required to do per our international constitution. And so I'm familiar with the idea of looking at management as part of my team as opposed to always my opponent. And so I'm hoping that that particular skill set will serve me well on being MLAC and trying to sort of find good common ground that will be beneficial to all folks here in Oregon. Let me know if you have any questions.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is John Billman, but as you hear, you most likely know me by my middle name of Kevin. I am very thankful to be here. I'm very humbled by this nomination and hopeful that you all will take the opportunity to appoint me to this position. I have been a meat cutter for most of my life. I've worked in the retail industry all of my life, the retail grocery industry. I look forward to this opportunity to serve. I currently work as the Director of Legislative and Community Action at the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which I've done since 2005. And I do, again, appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I know I stand between us, and I believe you guys being able to finish this committee. So open it up if you have any questions for me.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being willing to take on the MLAC assignment. I served on it myself for a while, and it is important. And I think just this morning we passed a bill through the Senate, which is headed to the House, that expands the term of office from 2 years to 3 years. So I'm not sure whether that will have taken effect yet for your service. I see another member of MLEC, the chair, in fact, saying, don't tell them that. But that is because it's certainly a challenging technical area of the law and really important both to employers and to workers who are covered by workers' comp. So I want to thank you personally. And did we have any questions for these good folks? Senator Farrioli, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Notwithstanding that you are our last panel, what's the reputation of MLAC, and why does it deserve the reputation that it has?
My understanding, the reputation of MLAC is very much an advisory board that has worked together with both labor and management, labor and business, work together towards the best for all citizens of the state of Oregon. My understanding is that, you know, the goal is to make sure that injured workers who are injured on the job are able to get the help that they need, the treatment and care that they need, to be able to get back onto the job as quickly as possible, if that is possible. And that we also want to make sure that we are able to, as much as possible, control the cost to the employers to make this something that works for everyone within our state.
Just to add to that, in my personal experience, I was really excited to find out that this advisory committee even existed because of the value that it has, I think, for the people who are both workers and injured, and the employers, again, trying to control costs. I know a little bit of the history about why it exists, and so I think that this is a very valuable committee to have and to continue to move forward, because those issues are always going to come up. Healthcare is always changing. The way that we have jobs and the types of jobs that we have are always changing, and so I think it's valuable to have those conversations to stay ahead of those things.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
There's five members from labor and five from the business community or business owners. Why isn't it 6-4?
Because both sides have equal value. And so the goal, I believe, is that we're all supposed to be unanimous in our thought processes for what we decide to advise and advise against.
Oh, I apologize. Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli. My understanding is very similar to Diane's. I believe that consensus is the goal, that where we can all do what is best for the citizens of our state.
Senator, just that this is a very unusual committee. It doesn't function like any other committee. It's pointless to ask people to park their passion outside the room when you meet. But the product of the work that goes on here is utterly indispensable to a thriving Oregon, you know, both for management and labor. So MLAC's not like anybody or any entity anywhere else in state government. I'm very grateful that you're willing to serve. It's tough work, but I think it must be very gratifying work. Our chair would probably know. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Indeed. Okay, thank you, Senator Farioli. Thank you both. And we'll be acting on your nominations shortly.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing. And members, that concludes all of our public hearings. So we are ready for our motion.
I'm not leaving.
Oh,
I'm just
good. Okay.
I'm getting ready to leave. I'm taking their advice.
Okay. So the chair will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Nathan Guerin and Patrick Garrett to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Paul Hudgens to the State Aviation Board, Gregory Moyer to the Board of Boiler Rules, Stephen Forster to the Building Code Structures Board, Chandra Tenth Gobalpur to the Oregon Business Development Commission, Wally Hicks and Sebastian Tapia to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Carol Morse, Gustavo Morales, and Nicole Price to the Trust for Cultural Development Board, Duncan Heddle to the Employment Appeals Board, Tom Insko, Nils Christofferson, and Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry, Allison Keene to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Sayer Jones to the Oregon Growth Board, Kevin Olson and Kimberly Tippins to the Health Evidence Review Commission, Shauna Butler, Cynthia Condon, Shannon Saldivar, Sean McNulty, Daniel Field, Joseph Finkbonner, James Hauser, Maria Vargas, Jesse O'Brien, Kevin Provencher, Laura Lawson, Joe Enlett, and Claire Trancaise to the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee, Neil Bryant to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Daniel Lopez-Savalas and Cynthia Gomez to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Rex Kim to the Oregon Investment Council, Satish Upadhyay to the Trustees of the State Library, Mary Wheat to the Oregon State Lottery Commission, Krista Rodriguez to the State Board of Massage Therapists, Zoe Hill to the Mechanical Board, Paul Coven, Melissa Peng, and Catherine Fisher to the Oregon Medical Board, Arian Moore to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, Christine Herman and Patty Kress to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, Diane Armstrong and Cindy Vipperman to the State Board of Pharmacy, Ruggiero Canizares to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board, Craig Anderson to the State Plumbing Board, Patricia McDonald to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, Charles Koklis to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, Clifford Johansson to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Samuel Henry, Colt Gill, and Mary Alice Russell to the Quality Education Commission, Joel Glass and Michael LaFour to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board, David Gremmels and Lori Hollingsworth to the Sustainability Board, Randy Golub to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, Clara Bees Fitzgerald to the Commission for Women, and Diana Winther and John Kevin Billman to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. Any discussion on the motion?
All qualified.
Yes, indeed. A very impressive and diverse group of Oregonians that we've heard from today. Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, Seeing none, I got a little too excited there and spilled my water. Motion carries. And we need a carrier, and our capable staff has pointed out to me that the last carriers were myself and Senator Boquist. So I think it would be the turn of either Senator Burdick or Senator Ferrioli to volunteer, if either of them would like to volunteer.
Madam Chair, only if you understand that I'll be reading the full first, middle, and last name and all of their credentials aloud.
Senator Ferrioli, we very much look forward to hearing
I'll put the appointment secretary on notice that I'll need the middle names of all the nominees. Thank you.
Great. So Senator Ferrioli will be our carrier, and I'll close the work session. And members, thank you for your patience. We are adjourned. Thank you for your patience. We are adjourned. And